it never dies. He that believeth my words, he that heareth my words, John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, passed from death into life, shall not come into condemnation. Now, then God upon Christ put my sins and your sins and before them to Calvary. He put my sickness upon him. He put my iniquity upon him. And there he paid the supreme sacrifice for you and I and every human in the world. Every person that ever had the ailment was healed at Calvary. Every sinner that ever was or ever will be was forgiven at Calvary. But the thing we have to do is accept it. See? By whose stripes we were healed. Past tense. That's when he done it. Every certain religious group of people at Louisville, Kentucky, teaches that if a baby dies and its parents did not have the Holy Spirit, a baby will never be no more. That it's finished forever. And I was discussing this recently with one of the people. I said, oh, that can't be. That poor little innocent baby has no control of it. Why, it had no way. How did it come here? It couldn't help being here. It couldn't help because his father and mother were sinners. I'll say this by the authority of God's word. Every baby that's under the age of accountability dies, goes to glory. Yes, sir. Christ died to take away the sin of the world. And when you come to the age of accountability, we were all born in sin. But when he died, he's taken away the sin. And when you come to the age of accountability, then you're responsible from then on. See? It isn't, you're not responsible for something you did not do. Christ died to save you, to take away the sin that Adam caused. But when you sin, you have to confess your sin. First, you have to confess it. But the baby's done no sin. It's not accountable for what it does. And Christ died to free that baby and not. If it's born of a parent, drunkard, whatever they might be, that baby goes to heaven. And I believe it. And I believe it will come to recognition of the cross when he gets there to know that Christ died for it. I believe that. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm a great believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What he's done and what he is to me tonight, he's more than life to me. I just get to talking to you and get past my place. I want to take just a little time. Many of you might be wondering why I'm not attending this service for a while. I just will get in first place just 25 and 30 at night to stand on a platform and so forth. And it's time to conserve myself to hold out for my community. This will be the longest meeting that I've ever held. Brother Lindsay told me, he said, Brother Branham, just go up and preach a few nights and hold yourself over. Or we just come right out of the big meeting and went right home and then just concrete on the run and then right in here again, going right out of here, right to Kansas City and right on into California and hard telling forth from there. And it makes it pretty hard, you see. Well, just this meeting would be different, but I never want to let myself get too far out again like I did the other time. Sitting at the platform for 8 days and nights without reason. Eating at the platform, sleeping on the side of the pulpit in the prayer line, still standing. I just lay down and sleep a little bit. Wake up and I hear that music is only believe, only believe. They put me in the car as you're sleeping. I couldn't sleep then. And they put me in the car just to be used to them little interviews about 5 minutes. And I started to go home. I drive up the road. I had an old Ford. It was just about gone. And I was drive up the road a little piece and stop. And I pulled all the hairs out of my hands, thinking, I'm laying there now, trying to keep awake, praying to the sick people, to wake myself up. And I hit the side of my knee on the old Ford, so it beat the side of it out like that, trying to keep awake, making sick calls. I remember a little joke, not a joke, I don't mean to say it that way, but just something was kind of funny. I was going up the road, and I got so sleepy, I'd hear cars blowing, I'd be on the other side of the road. But one time I woke up, and I was way out in the cow pasture with my hands out saying,
What will happen, sister, if you just believe?
A sister was praying for the sick. I thought it was praying for the sick out in the cow pasture. My wife, listen, I got home and she tried to put me to bed and I couldn't sleep. Well, it was lined up all around the house. And I woke up. I had a pillow hugged up in my arm like this. And God bless you, honey. You sure get well. And she was standing there crying and shaking me. She said, honey, what's the matter? I said, oh, Candy, I thought I was praying for the sick. I laid the pillow back down and I go over there and I remember just barely got to sleep. Just barely asleep. And she went out, had this little old two-room shack. Old as it should be, and they had an old quilt. And the door shoved together to keep the chimney from taking the morning. And there was, I remember laying across the bed, and it was five. I just couldn't move. My little baby didn't know me. I'd lost so much weight for a little girl. And I went in, and I laid down. And I heard an old car coming up and stopped. I heard a little baby out in the kitchen making a noise. I was in the next room. I heard my wife out there saying, well, don't. Listen, Aunt Wilkie, I said, well, we got to sleep. So you just stay around and come to your day right anyhow. I said, little baby, make an appointment. Well, I got to sleep. So you just stay around and come to your day right anyhow. I said, little baby, make an appointment. Well, I got to sleep. So you just stay around and come to your day right anyhow. I said, little baby, make an appointment. Well, I got to sleep. So you just stay around and come to your day right anyhow. I said, little baby, make an appointment. Well, I got to sleep. So you just stay around and come to your day right anyhow. I said, little baby, make an appointment. Well, I got to sleep. So you just stay around and come to your day right anyhow. I said, little baby, make an appointment. Well, I got to sleep. So you just stay around and come to your day right anyhow. I said, little baby, make an appointment. Well, I got to sleep. So you just stay around and come to your day right anyhow. I said, little baby, make an appointment. Well, I got to
clothes and got out to the kitchen. That's such another way as a little bowl in. My wife was talking to her, kind of wanting to make us something, cold, or a cup of coffee or something. She said, no, we just got something. He's coming down. I said, how long have you been crying, Mother? She said, almost 6 weeks. I don't know what's the matter with it. I said, if I'll ask the Lord, will you believe you'll bless it, and you can, you'll go back home believing, holding up? She said, yes, Brother Branham. I knelt down, wife, we were around the table. The mother laid a little baby on the table, and I put my hands up on the little thing, and I said, Father, you brought this little fellow in the world. He can't talk, we don't know what's the matter with it, doctors can't find the trouble. But will you just help the little thing? And while we yet had her hand laying on the little baby, quit crying. A few moments it was good and laughing. We sat there and talked to each other a few moments. The baby's mom went well, they take it, went on home. Oh, my friend, God only knows. Someday, I'd like to take each one of you out and sit down and talk with you a while. Today, my little girl, they take her down to a little place down near the little zoo, and I thought she'd stay a little long, so I was being a little troubled. My brother and them take her down, Mother. We sit down, got the car, we run down and find. I just got in there looking around. The car was gone, so it had already come back. There was a sister. Walked up, a brother first, and he said, Brother Graham. I said, yes, sir. Turned around, shut his hand. But I'm in Indiana. I said, yes, sir. But I'm in the meeting. He said, what's your trouble? And he said, it's my wife. She walked up. I was standing there, that poor little woman with such a case. I looked at her, I felt what it was. I said, I'd tell you what's wrong with you, sister. So you have humor, you know, brother. That's right, brother. Huh. She said, oh, if I could just get a prayer card for the surgeon then to get in the ground, I trust that she will. Over in the 27th chapter of the Acts, let's read just a few verses, begin at the 20th verse. This is Paul on his missionary journey. I just love to read about while you're turning. I see someone getting in the Bible. I love to read about those things and those things. I'm thinking of Peter up on the housetop waiting for dinner.
down at the Simon's house, the tanner, down at Joppa, and Cornelius, a righteous man, good man, was in prayer, and an angel came to him and said, send down to Simon the tanner and ask for one Peter who will come tell you all things. While Peter was on the house up, he seen a sheet let down full of all kinds of creeping things. And rise, lady, he had a vision. I thought of here come when Paul was passing through by Philip's house. He had four daughters, and they were prophets. And when they went in, thus saith the Lord, this man will be bound when he gets to Jerusalem. I thought of a vindicated prophet of God came down from Jerusalem, seeing Paul perhaps standing in the yard there, walked over and pulled the last little string from around him, tied his hands, and said, thus saith the Lord, the man that this is bound will be bound in chains when he gets to Jerusalem. Seeing the visions of the people, then to read of Paul, storm, he told them that don't lose from this place and go, because it'll be to your harm. See, God's always had ministering spirits. I believe in it. I believe in ministering spirits sent from the presence of God. The Holy Spirit, minister, lead the church, guardian angels that watch over. Where angels always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Is that right? Notice, 20th verse now. When Paul was out there and the storm was fearful, and when there was neither sun nor stars, many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope. Think of it. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, all hope is gone. Maybe your little bark that you're in, sailing across earth, all hope is gone. You got cancer. Something else. Tuberculosis, heart trouble, or something that'll kill you right away. Remember, a person's got cancer, heart trouble, or TB, something like that, something that's done right away, is you're not going to live long. Heart trouble is number one, cancer is number two, tuberculosis is number three. Notice, all hope is gone. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sir, oh my. I believe you did down the gallery praying, don't you believe so? You should have hearkened to me and are not a Lutheran priest, and to have gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Think of it. Why would you say this, Paul? The snow just as dark as it ever was, the storm just as hard as it ever was. What makes you stand so boldly now? Everybody, 14 days and nights, no sun, moon, stars, and other ships blowing, winds blowing. I didn't know where there's that out in the middle of that ocean, if you was ever out there. Well, the biggest of ships now look like a peanut shell all over on those waves, and what would those little old ships then look like? All hope is gone. Paul said, sir, I love that. You should have listened to me, not lose. But there'll be no loss of life from this ship. What? 23rd verse. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose servant I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Listen at his faith in his vision. Wherefore, sir, be of a good cheer. For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Oh, don't you just love that? It'll be as it was told me. If the angel truly comes from God and is sent from God, it's bound to be. It's direct message from the Lord. Now, I want to just bring an instance that I told you I would tell you. Run a prayer line. Does it bore you for me to tell you those instances? If it does, I'll just start. I'm only doing it to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with me. And some of the ministers tell the other things through the day services and so forth. I try to get something if they... A book. Friends, that thick. 300 or 400 pages wouldn't hold the testimony that the Lord has done directly. No wonder he said these things. But I do greater show you, or I go to my Father. Now, notice this one thing. For your faith, that you might have perfect confidence, when you're told anything, stay right with that. Don't you leave a bit of it. No matter how she twists or blows, you stay right there. God promised it. God will do it. Is that right? Now, in the gift working, the Word will do it itself. But the gift working is a double confirmation of God. Now you're sitting here, all of you looking at, look away and listen to the Word. God in heaven knows I do not see a person that I know. Only there's one that does know it, that's God. God knows all about you. And God can heal you. Now he should first, his Word tells you what he will do. God's Word says what he'll do, gives you a promise. We all believe that, don't we? It's God's Word. Then he sends a gift down into the church. And now, a gift, people, now I love you all. God knows that. When this life is over, I want to make an appointment with everyone standing at this meeting. Just to spend 1,000 years together, just one day to talk things over down by the sea of life. This is one of the smallest meetings I've ever had, smallest audience. But it's been one of the most sweetest and glorious meetings that I've ever been in my life. There hasn't been too many miracles. There hasn't been too many things happen. But just a sweet, heavenly atmosphere. Now, I know what it is. It's groups of people that never knew this glorious, matchless way that are coming in daily, giving their hearts to Christ. And that pleases the Father. That's what is happening. Wish I had a way to stay in Cleveland or leave and come back again. Right? Because here's where it needs it. Looking around over the city and seeing the conditions. Walking in the city and seeing many people go out, this gift is a pioneering. If it's going to the places, if it's bring forth, there'll be people who will follow me in here. Gospel ministers and so forth, the revival. But first, before you can get the people, there's got to be a godly demonstration of something to pull the people, to let them recognize that it is the truth. That's right. And now notice, the meetings are glorious, wonderful, and I love you all. It must be confirmed. Anyone can say anything they wish to. And they can have impressions. But when God really sends something, he'll vindicate that to be the truth. God will speak of it. The Bible said in Hebrews, God testifying of his gift. Hebrews 11, 10. That's right. God testifying. Then you've got God's testimony. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God. You believe it? When he comes to you, he'll testify that it's there. All God's gifts testify. There's nothing to try to make believe. That won't work. You've got to be positive. Now, a confirmation of the presence of God is that He shares through the Word, then He shares through gifts. Now notice how they work and how they are confirmed. Quickly, I shall hurry quickly now, and your faith is getting real high. I believe just about as high as I can see faith rise. The thing you need now is to let your faith loose. See? But what you're wanting is to get up here on the platform, seeing those people heal here. But if you just turn yourself, your faith loose out there where you are, it'll be just the same where you are. It's your faith anyway. See? It's your faith. Only faith is the only way you can get it. From God. Anything. You get salvation, forgiveness, anything comes from God through faith. Believe it. Accept it. No matter what it looks like here, we don't look at what we see. We look at what we do not see. Is that right? Anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See? You have to accept it by faith. Then when it comes into you, you understand it. You accept healing the same way. Stay right with it. Not what you look at, what you believe. What you understand to be the truth. What you're looking at, the unseen. You stay with that. That's why all these visions. I just lay my life right on any for it. Never fails. I have faith in it. I believe it. If I get you to believe the same thing, it's over then. Now, quickly to a vision. I told you I'll tell you tonight. I'll just take about 15 minutes on the time. It happened 2 years ago. I was in my room right after a big meeting. And I was seeing a rocky, hilly country. Just as natural. It's not what you had. It's not a dream. A dream is a dream. A vision is something you're looking at like I'm looking right now to you, or you're looking to me. Sometimes I'll be standing right like this. I've sat in my room. Been sitting in my room talking to my family. And moved completely away and be gone for an hour and a half or 2 hours. And it sat perfectly still without a speck of breath. That's what medical science can't understand. Whereas there are not even a speck of breath. You could put as fine as anything you want to around my nose, and not a bit of breath, they tell me. But my respiration heartbeat struck the same. What they don't understand. Taking out into another country, another world. And when you return, you have just exactly what God has said, and it never fails. And it can't fail. It's God. I know it seems maybe pretty strange for somebody to think that a person without even a grammar school education or something like that to make these statements and say, oh, where could it be? It would be something. It would come from some great church. Perhaps say the, if someone said the other day, I remember my people were raised behind me. I'm Catholic. And I have nothing against Catholic people. They're just as good as anybody else. That's exactly right. We're all, but we're born again. If the Protestants would be just as true to their beliefs as Catholics are to theirs, it'd be a lot different. That's the reason you notice they bring a Catholic to this platform. Brother, I know what I'm talking. They believe that what the priest says is right. That's right. What the priest says, that's law and gospel. And if they can see the signs and wonders performed, then they believe me. And that's all they have to do is believe it. See? And it happens. Now, these gifts and callings without repentance, now notice, God works these things out in His own way. Now, in the room, when it happens, I become a semi-conscious, leave the earth somewhere, return back, see just what's happened, and tell the people, write it down, and maybe some has this piece and can tell me how to rule of your Bible. I told it all over Florida, up through Central America, through Canada, down through Windsor, back down into the eastern part of America before it happened. He's wrote my book, which is coming out. I already put in the book. The vision, this is one vision that never has been fulfilled, but I said, thus saith the Spirit of God, it shall be fulfilled. And before the books come off the press, the vision's fulfilled. We'll go take it up. Approval. Now, I was in a vision. I saw a rocky country all around. I've seen a child about the age of this little lad laying here now that seems to have a verbal affliction. And he was had dark hair, dark brown hair, a little flat-looking face, flat nose, a cute-looking little boy, about 10 years old, but very poorly dressed, laying dead on the side of the road, killed in an accident. And I went by. The angel of the Lord said, can the boy live? I said, sir, I do not know. He showed me how to get down before the boy, and I laid my hands up on him, said, fix and take him to the morgue or somewhere, and the boy came to life and lived again. And I begin, has anybody here heard me repeat that before? Let's see your hands. Yes, sir, there's people. All right. I'm fixing to tell you the story now. How it happened. And you're witnessed by an entire nation. That's right. For the chief governors. I went to Miami, Florida, Dr. Bosworth's meeting when it began. I went down there. We had a little meeting there that I beg your pardon. I went down there to assist a little boy in a couple nights meeting, and they turned the tent over to me. It's a little boy, little David, we prayed for overnight when he was in a conference school. And I went, he asked me if I'd come down and spend the night with him, and I went down to spend the night. The night before that, I had the vision. I thought, well, the reason I went, I said, it may happen down there. But it looked like a rocky looking country. And so I said, I couldn't take my mind too much off of there. Just watch so I would know the country. Just exactly. When I seen him, and when I looked at seen what was taking place, I went into this to the tent, a tent about this size, I suppose, and I told the people, I said, somewhere there's a little boy, described how he looks, he's going to be raised from the dead. All of you write it down in your Bible. And I said, if it doesn't come to pass, you people who take Brother Lindsay's paper there, the little voice of healing, I said, Brother Lindsay, you'll put that article in the paper. I said, and Brother Lindsay witnesses this himself. So we went ahead, and the next afternoon, there'd been a little boy drowned in the irrigation ditch coming through out the west side of Miami. And when I went to the tent that night, they had a group way back there that said, he's a little boy drowned this morning, and he's laying back here now. They hadn't taken him to the morgue. And since you mentioned that last night, the people wondered if this is the little boy. I said, I'll be glad to. And the ushers and many of the ministers taking me back, I said, now, you remember what the little boy looked like? So I went up, the little boy was about 5 years old, cold, black-headed. I said, no, that isn't a child at all. So I said, this boy's between 8 and 10 years old, got a funny cut hair, something like a chopped off here in the back, like his hair is very, this little boy had a very neat haircut, a little bitty fella. I said, no, that's the wrong boy. He's too young. I said, that boy isn't about five years old. And I said, this boy's about 8 or 10. Up here in that child, that little boy was dressed pretty neat, but this little boy's all his clothes are all off of him almost. And I said, I'm sure it was an accident by car. For it looked like he was all beat up and tore up. I said, but anyhow, and I offered prayer for a consolation of family. And a minister from Indianapolis was there by the name of Raymond Huckster. Many of you might have known him. And he was with the little David. He buried the little boy a couple days afterwards. I went on up to telling the people in the meetings everywhere. I said, now there's one vision that hasn't come to pass. A great master vision that's going to stir everything. And went on through Canada. And many of you, as you know, have been in the meeting. I said, write it in your Bible, for thus saith the Holy Spirit, it will be. It has to be. And called the old Finland. We were up there, which is way up near the Laplands, the land of the midnight sun. And I've been up in the tower, fasting. Many of the ministers have been up there. I had one interpreter, Miss May Isaacson. Many of you might have noticed her. And so she was an American, Finnish American. And we came down, and there was an Englishman there from England was drunk and going all day. The singing of the songs on Golgotha. And they all sing their songs in minor. I like that. I like something you feel in your soul. A feeling. I like Jubilee songs. Brother, get me nearer, my God, to thee. Jesus, keep me near the cross. That's right. Those are the things that get down in my heart. And the men, we were kind of leading to Christ. Brother Lindsay, Brother Baxter, a group of us. We got in the car and started down the hill. Many of them went on. And most of them over there, I realize I'm speaking to many people. And they're very poor. If some of you American women, young women especially, had to dress like them poor Finnish girls, gravely thick clothes and all that. But they're lovely. Just the very cream of Christianity. And so we, coming down, they had a taxi up there, horses and buggies for taxis, going down the hill. Well, many of them went on, and I stayed back with some ministers, and Brother Lindsay, Brother Jack Moore, and I, and Ms. Isaacson, and two more ministers. We're coming down the hill, and cars are very, very scarce. We've seen a time where we had 10,000 or more gathered, and thousands standing on the street, and maybe five cars for you. Gas needed about 65, 70 cents a gallon, and the cars cost about $4,000 or $5,000, you can imagine. Now, then, coming down the mountain, we come way down and we're going out. I was back there. He said, Brother Branham, can't you break your fast and you eat just a little? I said, no. The Holy Spirit doesn't want me to eat. I went on down. I thought there was something odd. And all of a sudden, I look. I seen crowds gathered on the road. And there's a little boy had been run over by a car and killed. It's two little boys were crossing the road, and the car hit him straight this way. And it hit one little fellow by the chin and just rolled him over that way. About a 35 Ford sedan, driving at speed about 60 miles per hour, and threw the little fellow that way, and they've got him in the car, in another car, and it takes him to the hospital. But this little fellow hit him square as it turned to try to dodge the children, knocked him across the road to the north, another little boy fell to the south, and knocked him to the north, run over him, mashed him out of the car, and kicked him out from behind the car of the wheels, didn't want to run over. And he was laying on the side of the road, all bruised up, like over, way over the grass flat, as far as that post is. They had something over him. Very pathetic. And Brother Lindsay crying like a baby. And then when we got out, this great group of people gathered there, and the mayor of the city, they called him the chief governor there, I think, or something, which seems about the same as the mayor of the city, was standing by. And when I got there, they said, now here's what they said, Miss Isaacson told me. They said, here's that miracle worker from America. Let's see what he'll do about this. See how this Satan, oh my, we'll see what he'll do, like I could do anything about it. But in all God's wise providence, how you think? Now, I looked at many children. When he got the little child there, looked at it, I said, say, I've seen that baby coming. So excited, I have a little boy that's a little larger than myself, and I think about that poor mother, heartbroken, her little boy laying dead, coming home from school, a little fellow dressed real poorly, but being so worked up over that, and hearing Brother Lindsay crying and all, and I was crying myself. I couldn't help it. Anybody's got a feeling for human beings would be crying. Miss Isaacson was crying, Brother Moore. And I said to Miss Isaacson, I said, ask that pastor if that little boy had come to his church. He said, no. Now, I had to talk back and forth to him in church. And I said, well, ask if he's ever. All right. Looking at him. I kept on. Where about seeing that child? I said to Brother Lindsay, no more. I said, I've seen that little boy from. I looked at him again. I thought, well, I thought what was going to talk. I said, how long has he been dead? Oh, well. Oh, well. Your mouth opened, his eyes set way back. Dirt, little blood hanging on his face. There he was all mashed up. And one little lady picking up like his little hands really flat like that. Oh, my. We're just rolling on the cross. And they were all crying, and I said, oh, Father,
be merciful. Console the dear poor mother that's going to hear this news. And a father. I said, have mercy upon him. I look back at the child. I said, I just can't get it out of my mind. I've seen that time. And the angel eyes spoke to me. That's the boy that I showed you in nearly 2 years. I said, all right. I know him now. I've got to have the Holy Spirit of God. The boy is going to come back to life. Oh, my. I said, Brother Moore, get your Bible. He ain't wrote. I said, that's the little lad. Look at the description. There he is, just exactly. He's going to live again. Oh, my, I knelt down the car, you know, waited to see the vision, laid hands up on the little fellow. He let out a scream, and there he was, back to himself. The people didn't know what to do. Not a broken bone in his body or nothing. Just as normal as he could be, went on home. 2 days, the mother of the other child, father, laid on the steps of that drag out. I say they served the power who stood in the streets everywhere. Little crippled girl, I remember going in that night. I never shall forget that testimony. I was going in that night. 2 officers would take you down, 2 men behind. We were going in, none of them could speak English. They had to meet you about 2 city blocks away to get into the line, to get to the auditorium. I was starting in, and I happened to go through it. There was a dormitory back there, and I noticed must have been the little girl into one of the restrooms. And coming through, I shall never forget this testimony. If I got time to get it. Now, you bear with me a minute, will you? I just have to bring this in, this testimony. It's so sweet. I looked, and here was a poor little Finnish girl. And she was in braces around her waist, down around her leg. That leg was paralyzed, charter. Big shoe was something in her toe of her shoe. Come up, one over her shoulder, and put back there with a snap in the back. She had 2 crutches, and she looked at me like that. And she was trying to walk across to me, and her little baby blue eyes, tears running down her cheek. She smiled. She looked at me. Her little mouth looked like she was just jumping. She had her little crutches, and she looked at me, and she wanted to get close to me when I passed. I got a little girl home, too. I got one in heaven. She died about 10 years ago. And she'll tell you about Sunday. Then I looked at her, I know she wanted to come over where I was. That poor little thing, I stopped. She set her little crutches out. She took her little shoulder, pointed it back to make that step for her toe. That lady was heaven. And she set out underneath big braces on both sides with support to make her put her crutches so she could make a step. She didn't have this good length and she had no way to hold herself. Can you hear me?
Like that.
Now this is a good step. Here behind me, stop. Try to push me on. I couldn't tell nobody to sit still. And I wish I could use it. And I'd get out on the street when all of them get in the auditorium. And I'd go down where all of them little kids were, you know. And I'd give them. Oh, my, that was saying your kids all everywhere. There's a little group meets me out here every night. They're sweetest little fellows. And I just love little children. And the little Finnish girls just pull their little skirts out like this and say, Jesus. That means thank you. I'd have given some money to them and say, Jesus. I seen her coming up to me, and she got close. I wonder, what does she want? And she got right close to me. She took her little brace and stood. And she, some little baby blue eyes looked up at her little lips and quivered. And she got a hold of my coat. She pulled it up close to her, kissed my coat, let it drop back. She got her little crutch, moved back, looked up her little lips, and pulled her little skirt out and said, oh, my. My heart looked like a child. I knew that baby was evil. That abuse, God of heaven, couldn't keep it back from being that child. No fear. That angel said, if you get the people to believe you, that's right, that child believes in childlike simplicity. Yes, sir. I know that baby was healed. I was trying to tell you, you're healed. You can remove your braces, you're healed. God has healed you. And they kept pushing me on. I went on out to the platform. That night after the service over, there's a lot of crippled people there in the line. If you'll get the boys to dealing, I guess you'll notice the whole armloads of crutches and things there where people can take laughing in their home. I was just getting a little rest and fixing to take me. And I said, let's have about 10 more prayer cards called. He said, what number shall you call from? I said, call from a certain number.
And I turned around like this to get a drink. And I was the first one on the platform. Oh, my. It was a little heart was just jumping, you know, trying to get to me, pulling yourself back like that. She got real close to me. I said, "Sweetheart, come here, Sister Isaac, and I want you to tell her that she was meeting you out there. See? Go down on the side of the platform before this audience, one lane a little shorter than the other." I said, "And when they take the braces off of you, let her hands go right down like that as she goes off. You're healed." I went ahead and drank. She went over there and said, "Jesus." And she got over there. She took her braces off. Where she come back down the platform running with her braces overhead, screaming and crying, run up and down the step as far as she could go. And it happened to be one of the specials around there with daughter. Then we had a stir, sure enough, in the city to meet all the people. The next day, somebody keeping them away. Then, trying to keep the people out. And so, Sister Isaac, Brother Branham, said, "That little boy, the other little boy, was just dying. This is the third day," and said, "He's dying. Because they want to speak to him." I said, "Well, bring him on up." I went out there, and I did the interpreter. They said, "We come, but I said, what do you want of me? We want you to go heal our little boy like you brought the other one." I said, "Look, sister, brother, I can't do that. That was a vision God showed me 2 years ago. So when you go down to the hospital and rape our little boy, he's going to die and we love him." I said, "Sure you love him." But I said, "I can't do nothing until God shows me what to do first." I said, "Then if he tells me something, well then," she said, "go." I said, "Look, if I wanted to find favor with God, if I wanted to favor somebody, I'd try to find favor with him first." I said, "Now, look, I don't say your little boy will die or whatever, I don't know. I said, if the other could be raised from the dead, sure, our little boy could be saved from death." I said, "God can do it, but I'm just his servant. He has to tell me." So, she said, I said, "You gave your life to Christ, your little boy died, now when you are not Christian, you'll never be with him no more. But if you die, if he dies, and you are Christian and you die, you'll go to heaven and be with him forever." Well, they seen that was a good proposition. So they asked what to do. We knelt down there, and I had them to repeat prayer and to give their hearts to Christ, which they did. And then they raised up, and they said, "Go in and ask God what to do." Well, I said, "I shall go in and pray, and I'll let you know." They said, "We'll wait and find out what he says." I said, "That's very lovely, but he don't have to answer me, see. He might not answer me for a week. He might not answer me. He might answer me in an hour. But you go on home, and I'll tell you what he said." "So no, you go out to the hospital." I said, "He can answer me in this room just as same as he could at the hospital." I said, "Go and believe him. And whatever he says, if he says your baby's going to die, I'll send you word. He says your baby's going to live, I'll send you word. But I can't say until first he tells me." All right. I went in and prayed. Nothing. I went to the hospital. The little boy getting worse, fainting all the time. That night passed. That was the night the little cripple girl was healed. Then, next night, come along, nothing had happened. I went, and all those people were frantic. They'd call him every 15 minutes on the phone. There was Mrs. Isaac. "Well, has the Lord said about our child?" Nothing had been said. I went in that night, my brother Howard, standing over here, where's Mrs. Howard? He went in with me, and there's candy over there. The poor people don't have sugar to put in it. And he got a whole two little pieces of candy that day, about that big. He said, "Brother, I'm going to give this to you." One of Brother Baxter went to his room, Brother Lindsay and Emily. And I had a room to myself, so I can always be alone to pray. I took these two pieces of candy and went in. And as I went in, I laid them down like that. And I walked over there to the window. It's still light. Don't get dark at that time of year. And I raised up my hands and I said, "Oh, great Jehovah. How marvelous!" At the window, the hotel. I said, "Oh, you're the spring of all goodness. You're the fountain of life. You're the beginning to the ending. You're God." Begin to praise him from the window. And I thought, "How I love you. How your son died to redeem you. What you've done to that little girl tonight. How I appreciate working for you, Father." And I turned around to walk, as I turned to look this way, turned around, I looked at the Bible in my hand. There he stood, looking at me. You put a vase down on the table. And in that vase had two American Easter flowers, we call them, daffodils or whatever, you know. Right-looking daffodil Easter flowers. I may give that the wrong name. I don't know nothing about flowers. But anyhow, I call them Easter flowers. And they went a little vase about that high. And I looked at them, and one fell to the south, and one fell to the north. And I looked at that, and said, that's the two flowers. And the one to the north raised up, and the one to the south raised all the way up, and went up and down. The one went to the north was a little marking to come back from the dead. And went to the south was dying, going down. Now, the old God had mercy. And looked at me, and he said, what does your brother give you? And I said, candy, sir. And he said, eat it. Now, I picked up one piece of it and eat it. It tastes real good. Then that one from the north, just pretty much brown. Now, I started to take it out. And now, this teacher of ours, to the north or south, was going down. Now, I said, hold on. He said, if you refuse to eat that, the baby will die. I told that to mom. Sure didn't. Swallowed. You're thinking as a swallowed. The one to the south raised up. Look at the one from the north. And it looked at me. Vanished from my side. I said, boy, I ran outside. I said, come over. Come forward. Sister Isaacson, all of you, come here. Get a hold of father and mother and say, that's the Lord of the Lord. Your baby shall live. They called for him out of the doctor, don't give it up. They hadn't rushed it since again. They were so bad. It's a cut to the brain and everything. So that was the medicine in the world before your baby's going to die. And so they called out the house, and the woman is taking care of the other little child. So they were in the hospital. They had an emergency call. The baby was dying a few moments ago, and they rushed the hospital. They called the hospital. And the mother hung up the phone weeping. She said, Miss Isaacson said, Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, your child shall live and not die. She said, Sister Isaacson, about 5 minutes ago, we were watching for the life of death.
And all of us, here come the marrow and all of us, here come the roasted meat and everything, all of us, trying to see who we're at home right now. His testimony is to believe that shall never come to be true. You believe that to be true. God, who has sent him, who will judge me at the judgment of our soul, that's true. That's right. Those patients cannot fail. That's the major way, the first way to get work. The second way is the same here. Is it all the discernment? The three ways to work. First, is by, that's the way it works. Second, is the same here. You see the diseases, little things that people have done and so forth. That's second. Third, is to pass by no hands on the sick, for Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. When they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Is that true? God knows that these testimonies are the truth. Now, let us pray. Heavenly Father, seeing of the outside of the rain, just makes so much noise now. I'm here, Son of God. All I'm thinking about across the sea, the mouths of those poor little children, thinking daily we, great a privileged American, sat down at the table as much as we want to eat. Oh, with much left over. I'm thinking tonight. Willow there, Finland, those countries, little hungry children walking the streets, crying, wringing their little dirty hands to their eyes, crying for a piece of bread. Have some peace. Oh, God, we're unworthy. Someday it'll be over, one Father. Then we'll all go together at your big welcome table. As of tonight, sitting here in this audience, great men and women who fought the battle of life. See some of them stricken in sickness, some of them I think some night when it's all over, we gather up to your house, it won't be raining. But the power of God reigns. We'll set at the table, the welcome table. May we all gather there as unbroken families, Lord. Glad if everyone present here tonight be there with a roll call. Now look across the table and see some of them. These old veterans. These saints of God. We'll be said that we'll have to cry a little. Just to reach across the table and get one of their hands and say, you remember Cleveland when we had the meeting. Weep. Then the king will come out in his beauty. Walk down on the table and take his nails to our hand. Wipe all tears to our eyes and don't cry no more. It's all over now. There's no more sickness. You'll never have to have another healing campaign. There'll be no more weary nights. It's all over. No more hunger. You're all here. We'll see you look at courage. Out of this world of chaos. Into the marvelous light of the gospel of the Son of God. Grant it, dear Father. May times and others be done tonight. But magnify him who we love, for we ask it in his name.
From Q1 to Q15, if you stand in line to my right and your left, everyone else will make it to school. From here, you'll be able to take the boy and go home, and you'll be all right.
I'll ask you. Father, a little lad like the sheriff's going to die if something isn't done for him. I know that you promised that you would bind on earth what we bound. And I pray that you'll bind the spirit of the enemy that's trying to take that child's life. May this newly convert mother and the child be happy and healthy the rest of her days. For I bless them in the name of thy Son, now, Jesus. Mother, take your boy and go home. Don't be well. You, brother, sitting right behind you, are all weary and broke down with TB. Isn't that right? You go home to your real life. Just have faith. Don't doubt. Believe with all your heart. God will make whole any road if you have faith and believe. You believe that? That's scripture. All right, now. That's okay. That's scripture. Good evening, scripture. were asking something right here for, before the audience. Now, when you came up there, I see you there just a few moments. You didn't get a strange skin on your hand. Isn't that right? Just raise your hand. All right. Just start to raise your hand so people see that you got drunk. Dear my brother, you're already healed. You must be well. You remember the boy who was going to have a drunk to you? When he had a nervous condition, he probably had a health screen. Let's raise the last.
The man is, in this man is in worse condition. Made you weak, didn't it, sister?
it don't take any power that can kill a cancer or straighten a crippled limb or can bring a man from death to life. It isn't just what you look at. Life. Now the man here very hard of hearing. And he's got something in his wrist. It's cutting off circulation of his wrist, causing his hands to be stiff and nothing. All right, bow your head, everything. Our Heavenly Father brought again Jesus from the grave. I ask you to be merciful to this man. Satan has harmed him. A death spirit come upon him to cause him to walk before a vehicle somewhere to be killed. Shorten his days, cutting off the circulation through his hands, stiffening none of his hands. But he comes tonight, Father, as a believer, making testimony great in the community that he lives in. May his testimony cause a revival, getting aged. Just a little while to work for Jesus. And may he be able, by his testimony, to win many, many souls to you. Grant him this opportunity, Father, where all things work together for good, for them that love you. Help me now in this challenge of faith against Satan. Thou demon powers that have bound this, our brother, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, come out from us. We'll unread the vibration blessing just a moment. I'd like you to raise your head. Don't you say, don't you just hear me? Hear me all out there. Right? Put your hand up now, please. Tuck your hand back and forth like this. God bless you. It's over and go home and be well, brother. Let's say praise the Lord. Come, Father, sister. Now, dear brother, in about you can hear a whisper or anything by morning or day after tomorrow, then you're going to go almost completely deaf again. Just keep praising God. Keep that trumpet away from you. God bless you. You got it. How do you do, sister? What if I said you got healed up sitting there in a chair? Would you believe me? Heart trouble. Please, you can move off the platform now. Well, let's say praise the Lord. He's sure to make known his secrets to do all things well. How do you do, sister dear? You believe with all your heart? I know what's wrong with you, but you haven't yet received your healing. But you have two things wrong with you. I see another one coming in. Honey, so you're tired of half faith, aren't you? You're just dressing yourself, aren't you? But that is just settle yourself, just to say, I believe. It isn't what you can make yourself to. You just thought this simple faith, just what color is my shirt? Why? Now, you have a sense of sight that says it's wrong, doesn't it? Now, if your faith says, I'm going to be healed right now, it's saying, is this divorced as well as your sight says that shirt's white? It's over. You believe it? All your heart. Let's see. I'll have to be honest with you, Sister Jean. I would like to see you heal right there, but why don't you look at my hand here? See how it's turning red and little white things running over? I'm going to take your hand off mine. Put my hand on. It isn't there now. I'm going to take your other hand. Don't hold nothing in your hand. Over here. Put this hand here. It's not there now, is it? Now, you're just as much human in this hand as you are in that hand, aren't you? But that he told me to take the patient's right hand, my left hand, which is near my heart, and I do it with all my heart. Now look, I want you to watch. Now see my hand and watch your sit down. Now sit your hand right back the same way that way. Look at that. You got a man? Now, sister, that's the power that you have a female disorder, isn't it? It's almost this way. I want to ask you a question.
Now, that was just a question I asked her. Was it true, sister? I told you at that time. True, this was a secret. I couldn't speak before the audience. Believe me, with all your heart and being healed, will you do this? A thousand years of Father, we thank thee for thy mercy. Bless our dear sister now. May the power of the enemy leave her. She's trying, Lord, trying to have faith, and she comes to thy servant to help her in faith, to intercede for her. And I'm blending my faith with her, and I join this channel now of faith to challenge this demon that bound it. Satan, you who bound this poor little woman to take her life, I come in this challenge of faith in the name of Jesus Christ, claiming the gift of divine healing ministered to me by an angel. Come out from the woman, through Jesus Christ's name. Now, amen. Very pleasant. Now, before I raise my eyes, or look, sister, you look at my hand. Is it normal, it's like the other is now? Now look, sister dear, something happened, hasn't it? Now you know that beyond a shadow of doubt. Standing here telling you things of your life, is that right? What was wrong with you? Now watch. Now there's my hand. Just the same. Now take yours. Just the same. Now put this other in just the way you had it all the time. Something's happened, hasn't it? Well, you're healed, sister. That's something here. You're going your own rejoicing. Everybody be just as reverent as you can be. Believe with all your heart. Different message, notice. Talking down. Right? Bring the lady on. Even if it comes to play with a ring for me. Up this river. All your troubles and pain. Isn't that right? You believe with all your heart? You believe I'll have God give you freedom again? All right. Let us bow our heads, if you will. All right. The hell here. She's serving you in the capacity of your potential without so ordained that she should do this. We thank you for her healing. Pray God that she'll be a great testimony in her community to Jesus Christ. God bless you, sister. You know when it happens, so that's gone. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, my. What you say there? The power of the Holy Spirit is numb to a ceremony. All right, bring the lady. And everybody be real reverent. Just at the right place to be healed. If you just accept it, now will you do it? But Father, Heavenly Father, bless this thy handmaid, Lord, that she may be free of this demon tonight. That's fine. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave the woman.
Now's the time for you to act. Raise your hands up. What did you just say? What did you just say? Raise your hands up. Let's say praise the Lord. Yes. You'll be well the rest of your day.
Everybody, good evening. Have a very square, straight look. What are you?
You think it's wonderful. You believe that what I've told you is the truth? All the things that you've heard are the truth? It is. I mean what you've heard me say here. What you were thinking, and I hadn't told you what was wrong with me. But I will be able to do that. So I won't promise you that I will. And then I know I'll be all right. Something right in your heart, don't you? Sister, go off the platform and be well of your tumor, and God bless you, and go on. Let's go praise the Lord. You believe it out of your heart? Lady, your little boy is about 50% different now than what he was, because his light is beginning coming around him. So you can take him home now if you want to. Be well. How many would like to receive their healing right now? Now remember, friends, if God is sure to reveal things and to tell things, and if anything ever happens to make you doubt that, God has mercy. That's all that anything can be done. Isn't that right? God has mercy. Now, you must believe with all your heart in order to remain or retain your healing. There's some handkerchiefs here he wants me to pray over. Yes, this party here, I just prayed over this. There's somebody in Hollander, Hotel Hollander. Hollander. All right, this is for a handkerchief laying right here. They may come and receive it. I just had it at the room. Telegram, what's the name? Please pray for his healing, Charles Brown, behind me. All this is the name. Here's prayer request. I just before let's bow our heads while we pray over you. Our Heavenly Father, you know all things and can do all things. And we're committing these letters to you now, these requests, laying on this platform on the pulpit. That you will heal every one of the people that they represent. There's many that's deeply and sincerely in distress and in need. God, hear the prayer of your children as we're binding ourselves together now. And with one accord, we pray that you will heal every one of these people and make them well. Through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, how many will please, if we'd ask God just now, you could have your healing. Now look, it would take about an hour to get through one from or more of you. Now God knows all that. Now see, here's what it is, friend. When you go to moving like that, it begins to seem that it just, you have to sing without it when everybody's looking. Just imagine just about 3,000 things buzzing against you at one time. You have to almost get the person right before you when it's coming like that, before you know just what is. But please, if I have found grace in your sight, if you believe me, and God, who I'm standing for, knows that about the gift and the vision is true, so help me, dear Lord Jesus. I want to go to heaven when I leave this earth. And I don't want to go there and try to get in as an imposter. I wouldn't get in. and I'm testifying of the truth. And nightly, I feel condemned by having you bring people up to you, tell them what is wrong, and bring, and it makes the people kind of get in this place. You have to get out to get all the people into the prayer room. That isn't necessary, dear friend. Now, I know there's people go through the country and says they're the only one that has the right to pray for the sick and so forth. Now, that is an error. Any Christian has the right to pray for the sick. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other. Everybody. Your pastor sure has just as much right to pray for the sick as I or anyone else. You don't have to follow healing campaigns. Sometimes in healing campaigns you see the things going to pass. Someone making a testimony of healing, it stirs your faith. You see signs. But do you remember the angel of the Lord that as the prophet Moses was given two signs to prove to Israel that his testimony was true, so will you be given two signs. Have you heard it before? You've heard the story. And Moses performed those signs one time. That was enough. Is that right? Here went Israel falling to the promised land. I trust that God will give you grace for the next 5 minutes to believe that I'm telling you the truth. I say this upon the merits of Jesus Christ in the Bible and the testimony of the gift to confirm it, that Christ's attitude is exactly the same towards every one of you. He's here to heal you this night. Maybe you might not have the spontaneous faith to bring something, it's a miracle right to you. You may not have that kind of faith. But Jesus said if you had the faith like a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, be moved, and by and by it would come to pass. It would vanish it away, but by and by it would come to pass. Now the mustard seed, the reason he said that, you can miss tail, you can miss finish, bring it together, but you can't mix mustard with nothing. It won't mix. It's just mustard to be mustard. And if you've got just the least little grain of faith, that genuine mustard seed faith, that won't move, stay with it, it'll bring you out. Now, some people have faith like this. Some has that much, some has that much, and some can go over their heads in miracles. But because you haven't got that much, that doesn't mean that you can't be healed. If you have the least little bit of faith, just stay right with it. It'll take you out. Will you believe that? That's the truth. God will make me answer for it if I haven't told you the truth. Can you accept it now upon the basis of God's... Little girl, you've been healed for the last 20 minutes, honey, sitting there, a little Spanish girl sitting there, too. And so don't worry about that. I see you healed a while ago. Now, notice, look, every person in here can receive their healing right now. When you will believe that you're healed just the same as you believe that twice. Believe that you're healed, accept it, say, thank you, Lord. Walk right away and take it, accept it, upon those bases, and be healed. How many will believe that now? Say amen. All right. I want you to stand up while we have prayer. Look. There's a man sitting here that my heart bleeds for. Come here. Are you a real believer in Christ, brother? You usher, which I see you are. Come here just a minute. How you feeling, sister? Better? All right. That's the way to accept it, though. Go home and be well now. You're out of your wheelchair and you go home and be made perfect. How do you have to lay your hands on her now? God bless you, sister. Your faith has saved you. A little Mennonite woman. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, thou art here to heal the sick, to perform miracles, to cast out demons, to reveal the secrets of the people's hearts, to call demons by their name, to heal all manner of sickness and diseases among the people. Lord God, we thank you for everything that thou hast done this night, and pray, God, that this will be a great night.
that every person in the building may rise as this woman out of a wheelchair just now. Penny got paid bleeding. God, may they go home, heal every one of them, and made completely whole. I now ask this blessing of their healing through Jesus Christ's name. Nathan, thou ungodly spirit, you that tries to bind people with unbelief, tries to make them doubt, you are a loser, you're defeated. I now plead the blood of Christ around every believer that you, thou sinner spirit, leave this audience in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out from the people. Liberate them.